Heureux sont vos yeux, parce qu'ils voient, et vos oreilles, parce qu'elles entendent. Je vous le dis en vérité, beaucoup de prophètes et de justes ont désiré voir ce que vous voyez, et ne l'ont pas vu. Entendre ce que vous entendez, et ne l'ont pas entendu. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Glückselig sind eure Augen, dass sie sehen, und eure Ohren, dass sie hören. Denn wahrlich, ich sage euch, viele Propheten und Gerechte haben zu sehen begehrt, was ihr seht, und haben es nicht gesehen, und zu hören, was ihr hört, und haben es nicht gehört. Dear parishioners, dear friends, dear sisters and brothers in Christ, there are many prophets in this world who claim to know the truth. They belittle others and say that their faith wasn't mature enough to understand and that their teaching was the only truth. These self-proclaimed prophets are everywhere, in politics, in the internet, in religion, and in our social circles. None of us human beings own the truth. Or perhaps we do, together, each one of us, a glimpse of it. The mysterious truth of life is like a giant jigsaw puzzle, and each one of us holds a tiny little piece to add to the full picture. We depend on each other to grow spiritually. We need to share the insights we hold to understand more fully the meaning of life and God's plan for us. Some of the greatest leaders in the history of Christianity got it wrong sometimes and were seduced by the thought that they knew it all, that they were holding all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. And today we will hear of one of those leaders, Apostle Paul. Paul was surprised and saddened when suddenly others came forward with their own ideas and when they doubted his leadership. We are all leaders in faith, and by trusting each other's leadership and wisdom, we will together grow closer to God. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Let us pray. Loving God, open our ears to your word as we are gathered before you in our homes. Send your Holy Spirit into our living rooms so we may feel connected with you and with one another in this often confusing and fast-changing world. Be our rock. Be our light of hope. The quiet harbor that we can always return to. Shower us with your peace, now in this very moment. Shower us with wisdom and confidence. Gracious God, you have called us to be leaders in faith, each with their own unique talents. Let us be a moment to reconnect with ourselves. Give us the strength to believe in ourselves and to become the person we are meant to be, beautiful in your eyes. Plant in us forgiveness, patience, and humility, so we may always make space for others to inspire and shape this world. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This morning's reading is from the Apostle Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, reading from chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Ministers of the New Covenant. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ prepared by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
Apostle Paul is in trouble. One of the most significant early Christian communities, the Corinthians, doubt his leadership. He is no longer the undisputed leader. Whether the criticism was fueled from within or from people outside the community, we can't quite tell. But Paul's second letter to the Corinthians paints a clear picture of his struggle. Paul is on the defensive. He defends the way he speaks and writes and teaches. And he feels as if he had to apply for the leadership role all over again. Clearly, his authority as an apostle is under scrutiny. The fact that he is far away from the community and that traveling is not at all easy probably makes him feel rather powerless, as if losing control. And Paul does not like the feeling of losing control. The relationship between Paul and the Christians in Corinth goes back a long way. Paul had spent 18 months with them before traveling onwards. From his first letter, we can tell that Paul is a confident and trusted leader, even from afar. Passionately, he explains the meaning of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the practical consequences for our lives as Christ's disciples. But then, in the second letter, the tone changes quite dramatically. He speaks of a painful second visit, an experience he doesn't wish to repeat. He tries to make a case for himself, to promote himself, to win back the confidence of his sisters and brothers. After all, they are his family. They are his social circle, his friends. The thought of losing his place makes him anxious and tearful. Hence, we also call this letter the letter of tears. I can understand Paul's pain. His family are his brothers and sisters in the Christian communities that were popping up all over the Roman Empire. Like him, they followed in the footsteps of Christ. Paul dedicated his whole life to his mission, and he preached the gospel wherever he went. He was determined to get across his interpretation of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. At the beginning, it all went quite well. Paul was the respected leader. His words had weight. But as the Christian communities grew more confident and knowledgeable, they also grew more independent. All whilst Paul was cut off from them. And traveling wasn't easy at the time, It took a lot of organizing to getting around, and Paul's journeys to the Christian communities were long and exhausting. He missed out on their day-to-day life, and nothing can replace that personal contact to nurture and fuel relationships. So when Paul returned to Corinth for his second, the painful visit, he was surprised to find an emancipating community who had their own ideas and who found inspiration from other sources. Family and friends reunions don't always go the way we anticipate or hope for, especially with geographical distance and long stretches of time in between. In the meantime, every person carries on with their daily life, following certain routines that we are not part of, finding inspiration in new places and people. Our individual circumstances shape us in different ways. We also tend to romanticize the lifestyles of others and how life has played out for them. And then we are surprised to hear when the reality is different from what we imagine. Secretly, we hope that things will always be the same, always be there for us, statically waiting for us on our return. But life moves on. Nothing ever stays the same, and we move on with life. It's like going to a school reunion and expecting everyone to behave in the same way, cracking the same jokes, laughing over shared memories, just to discover that we have become different people and we have to redefine our common ground. If Paul were a religious leader today, his leadership style would probably be described as toxic. He cemented his authority by declaring the people he was leading as immature in faith. He also failed to elevate other people to visible positions and to put his trust in them. Paul did not like to delegate or share leadership. He shunned people who did not follow the party line. His toxic leadership style was his downfall. He thought he was always going to be the undisputed class representative and that his brothers and sisters were waiting for him to come back to inspire and lead and encourage them. Paul thought that it was his role alone to prepare his brothers and sisters to become good Christians and to follow the correct interpretation of Christ's teaching, his interpretation. Yet this is not how things work. Inspiration comes from various sources. God's Spirit blows wherever it wants. Communities excel when they are open for new developments and ideas, and when they acknowledge that there are different interpretations of God's word and that they can and should be debated. Good leadership is shared leadership. Good leadership encourages emancipation. Good leadership consists of mutual trust and empowerment. Paul was not that kind of leader. He struggled to give up control. He saw other opinion makers as adversaries rather than a source of inspiration. His brothers and sisters, however, were inspired by other ideas. The Holy Spirit spoke to them in many different ways, and they were brave enough to listen and shake up the toxic system created by Paul. Of course, Paul's teaching expressed in his letters will always be a crucial pillar of Christianity. And we can't acknowledge enough the role Paul played in furthering the gospel. Yet Paul's shortcomings as a leader should also be a reminder that churches are a place for debate and ideas, for growth and change, and that the truth is ultimately in God's hands and not in ours. Learning to let go and to trust in God's mysterious way is a lifelong process. At times painful, at times liberating, yet always worthwhile. The Spirit of the living God is not written on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts, passionate, loving, spirited, expanding and contracting with the rhythm of our heartbeat. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, you are the source of light in the darkness of hardship. We pray that as we struggle to navigate this world, we may always find in you our guide and our strength. We commend ourselves to you, O God, because without you we are but lost. Kyrie eleison. We pray for the world, for all those places that are troubled by divisions and conflict, and for their leaders. Liberating God, help us and them to strive for what is right and quell what is divisive. Grant peace, unity, and love to the world, so that we may all rejoice in your presence. Kyrie eleison. We pray for our communities in Covent Garden, the UK, Switzerland, and wherever we have come from and moved to. Help us sustain, O God, our bonds with one another, and remind us all that, though we may be apart, yet we are all together with your Spirit. Kyrie eleison. We pray for all those whom we know and need our prayers, for the sick and distressed, for the bereaved and the lonely, and for any who have no one who prays for them. Help us recognize, O God, all the times we have strained our relationships of love for what we may have said or done, and bring us closer to those whom we may have wronged. And in silence, we offer our own prayers. Amen.
I would like everyone listening at home or reading this service to join in with the sharing of communion. If you don't have any wine or juice in the house, take some water or any kind of juice you have. Pour it in your favorite mug or glass. Take a piece of bread or a cracker or some cake and put it next to your glass on a plate. Together we will bless the wine and the bread, and we will share communion as a sign that the grace of God becomes alive through us. As I will speak the words that Jesus has spoken to the disciples when they shared the meal, you may hold up your glass to give thanks, break the bread, and hold the palms of your hands over the wine and bread for the blessing, just as you see me doing at church. Take your time to get ready, or pause the audio service if you wish. With the symbols of wine and bread in front of us, let us begin. Heureux les invités au repas du Seigneur. En partageant le vin et le pain, nous nous souvenons que nous sommes une communauté fondée sur la foi, que l'amour et l'espoir grandissent si on les partage. Wir sind alle eingeladen an Gottes Tisch. Frauen und Männer, jung und alt, reich und arm, Leichtherzige und Schwermütige. Brot und Wein bringen uns in Berührung mit dem, was unaussprechbar ist, und mit dem heilsamen Wirken der göttlichen Gnade. I invite you to pray and to answer with the words, and we offer them to you. God of life, who loves and embraces us in mercy and acceptance, we recognize those places in our lives where we have been hurt and rejected. And we offer them to you. We recognize those times when we have hurt and rejected others. And we offer them to you. And we recognize the ways that we have failed to believe in your forgiving power. Help us to live in the strength that comes from your never-ending love. Amen. And in a moment of silence, let us think of the times when we have been hurt and of the times when we have hurt others. In der Nacht, als Jesus verraten wurde, saß er mit seinen Freunden und Freundinnen und teilte das Mahl. Er nahm das Brot, dankte dafür, brach es, gab es seinen Jünger und Jüngerinnen und sprach: Nehmt, esst, das bin ich, für euch gegeben. Dann nahm er den Kelch, dankte, gab ihn seinen Jünger und Jüngerinnen und sprach: Nehmt, trinkt alle daraus. Das ist das Zeichen für den neuen Bund mit Gott. Tut dies zu meinem Gedächtnis, so oft ihr zusammen seid. Let us bless the bread and the wine. Gott, segne diese deine Gaben, Brot und Wein, Früchte deiner Erde und unserer Arbeit, die uns tragen von Generation zu Generation. Que le Saint-Esprit soit présent maintenant que nous partageons le vin et le pain. Par cette communion, tu renouvelles nos forces. And if you live with other people, you may now share a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Ich wünsche dir Friede. Shalom. I invite you now to take your piece of bread or your cracker or your cake. And after that, the cup with the wine or juice or water. And together, we now eat the bread and we drink the wine, symbol of the presence of Jesus. Together we pray as Jesus Christ has taught us. Unser Vater im Himmel, geheiligt werde dein Name, dein Reich komme, dein Wille geschehe, wie im Himmel, so auf Erden. Unser tägliches Brot gib uns heute und vergib uns unsere Schuld, wie auch wir vergeben unseren Schuldigern. Und führe uns nicht in Versuchung, sondern erlöse uns von dem Bösen. Denn dein ist das Reich und die Kraft und die Herrlichkeit in Ewigkeit. Amen. Gott segne und behüte dich. Gott lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Gott hebe sein Angesicht auf dich und gebe dir seinen Frieden. Que Dieu te bénisse et te protège. Que Dieu fasse briller sur toi son visage qui se penche vers toi. Que Dieu tourne vers toi son visage, qu'il t'apporte la paix. God bless you and keep you. God make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I wish you all a wonderful Sunday. Go in peace and bring peace to the world. Gönnt in Friede und bringet de Friede in die Welt. Amen.